personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
We have returned after a brief hiatus for...
Brief?
For some reason. Who knows why?
You just spent more time off than I have in 20 years here.
To be fair...
Family and Christmas.
To be fair, Dal, how far did you travel for Christmas this year?
I don't know.
Like 8 minutes?
Am I supposed to add up every time I went to my brother's house? I went there multiple times. That adds up, you know.
I see. I had to go down to St. Louis.
You didn't have to.
I was not going to not go down to
anyway,
St. Louis.
Anyway, no, it's good to have you back. I held down the fort while you were... Well, I held down some other fort while you were gone. This fort crumbled. I think we would be out of bounds if we didn't at least talk about your return back to this wonderful valley, which we live. First off, we love this. I love this place. I'm from here. I'm fifth, sixth generation Star Valley, Wyoming. The people who helped settle it were my ancestors. It's a hardy place. Mm-hmm. And even when we live now, I always try and think of myself, it's like you're a pansy compared to your grandparents or your great grandparents. It's like you are. You just are. You kind of had a, welcome back to the mountain snow moment as you came back from St. Louis.
That's true. Got stuck a couple of times. Had to get a hotel. My wife actually cried at one point during the entire thing. It was when the tires spun in the driveway, and you could see on her face. It was not that this was the worst thing that happened. It's after everything else that occurred, seriously, we're going to get stuck in the driveway.
It was the final straw.
So, and yet, because life has a funny way of doing this, Dal, sometimes perspective punches you in the face quickly. So we pull in. We thought we were going to get home Sunday with all this time. She didn't have to work till Tuesday. She was really looking forward to having that full day off.
The decompressed day.
Yes. And we don't get back till Monday night, 6 o'clock. Or no, I guess it was closer to 4 o'clock because I tried to show up for the meeting.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Yeah.
Which was canceled, which we didn't find out was canceled till like 5 minutes before it was canceled. So Aaron shows up anyway.
Yeah. So then I think, oh my goodness, what a terrible 2 days I have had. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch Bengals-Bills. This is going to be the game of the year.
It's going to cheer you right up.
This will brighten my spirits. And then as it turned out, I didn't even have the worst Monday of anyone that I personally saw on Monday because we had a bit of an incident during the Bills-Bengals game.
Yeah.
Still not sure. From a football perspective, right now they're saying the most likely scenario, and this one's weird, but something weird has to happen, is that they are going to play Week 19, which will feature one game, and they're considering pushing the playoffs back a week.
Hmm.
The Super Bowl will be played the same week, which means for the first time since 1972, the conference championship game will be 1 week before the Super Bowl, if that's the route that they do end up cementing.
See, I'm fine with it.
I think that is perfectly fine.
Because whenever there was like, I'm even okay with the 2 week gap sometimes, but sometimes it gets to three, and it's just like, no, that's too much. Of course, the big news, DeMar Hamlin, that was a freaky deal, man.
Yeah.
I have never seen, he got up, and then he kind of wobbled it and at first, you
just naturally think, oh, concussion.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out his heart stopped.
But you knew it was something worse than something, you know, average football injury. Like I said, when he gets up and he collapses and then his body just kind of, his hands just kind of froze up. And basically his body went into like survival mode, mm-hmm. Trying not to. And then obviously there's been this discussion afterwards. I know this goes without saying, Aaron, but we are not doctors here on the podcast. But I thought right away, you could tell it was different also from the reaction of the players. The players were freaking out because, as it turns out, yeah, they're using the defibrillator on him. They're doing CPR. He's not breathing.
I'm going to take a moment, and we don't have a wide, respectively, not exactly the widest platform in the sure. world. A couple hundred people, but you know what? I love all 100, 200, whatever people tune in, listen to our opinions for no reason other than they're bored on their drive to work. Appreciate you. But let me just talk about, you know, I've come on here before in a football sense. One of my favorite players in the league was in that game, right? Joe Burrow. And one of the things I always talk about him, oh, he's cool Joe, right? You talk about in a football, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, oh, they're just so calm, cool, collected, under pressure. And the pressure we mean is they're down by four in a football game with 2 minutes to go. How about the only, whatever it was, five people on planet Earth at that moment watching what was going on that actually were calm, cool, and collected? The medical staff that they had right there, I mean, you go into that, you get hired to be sideline medical personnel for a football game, you're probably thinking that, oh, that's pretty cool. At worst, what do you think's gonna, someone might tear their ACL,
yeah,
and they're gonna be in pain, and you have to say, oh, sorry,
and you have to use an air cast or, you
yeah,
know, not to belittle that, but that's typically the major thing.
Now I've torn an ACL and an MCL before, so maybe I'm allowed to belittle it a little bit, but it does hurt. It pops. Painful. I'm guessing that they did not expect, oh, today I'm going to have to save a man's life on this football field.
In front of 100 million people.
Down he goes. His heart stops. You're working on him. You're asking him questions, and you realize his heart stops. Bang. They're right into CPR. They're saving that man's life. I mean, they didn't hesitate for a second. No panic at all. Got him to the ambulance, got him to the hospital, and now he's still in critical condition, so not to jinx anything, not to say anything. But all the reports we're getting from people that are in that hospital room with him, his uncle has tweeted out about it, his best friend. It sounds like
he's
making a correct turn in the right direction health-wise.
Say in the last 24 hours, things have improved.
Yes.
That, you know, we don't know what that means long-term, but... You know, hey,
there's a lot of optimism coming from the room itself.
It's better than it was 24 hours ago.
Yes. And that's simply incredible. The wizardry that modern medicine essentially is at this point. I mean, have you ever stopped to just think about that? A human being restarted a non-beating heart.
They've been doing that for a while, Aaron.
I know. Isn't that just the weirdest thing?
Here's how...
You ever seen a deer just go into cardiac arrest and then one of his deer friends just says, oh, here, hold on, let me do my voodoo magic and bring him back.
Let me use this machine. Like, that's actually the most remarkable thing to me is that the technology has been around long enough now and been refined enough...
That we don't even think about it.
...and miniaturized now that every facility... You go to a high school, you go to an elementary school... You go to a football field, and they've got an AED there.
People are impressive.
They've got a defibrillator there with a little sign that says, hey, the defibrillator's here. And by the way, if you're an idiot and you don't know how this works, i.e. everyone.
Yes.
Here's some quick instructions to save someone's life. The machine does most of the work. I mean, it really is. But I'm saying that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, for the people that are on the field, first off, it's not that simple. They have no idea. Because they're just like us, I assume. They're thinking, okay, let's start with his head. And then, like you said, eventually it's like, nope, we're not worried about this. We're worried about keeping this guy alive. He's not breathing. His heart's not beating. We got to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they go right into their training. Amazing people. Amazing.
There was so much to break down in that whole scenario. So much that happened. And first of all, now there's this controversy about Joe Buck reported that they were given 5 minutes to warm up, and he's standing by it. He says, no, I got that report. I promise you. And the NFL is steadfastly denying that. No one knows what to make with that whole ordeal.
Here's the thing, Aaron. For all we know, that could be a production assistant over a headphone.
Maybe.
There are so many people.
It could be.
Those headphones.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at our little production that we do. And when you're the producer, you have two sets of headphones and you're talking to the camera operators and to the talent and listening to commercials. That's all just our little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It
could have been anything. It is just odd now that we've got this weird controversy about that.
If people want to focus on the negative of the league, and I keep hearing this, it's like, who cares?
I I had a friend who, this was just a Facebook comment he left, but it did kind of make sense. You really do have to think about, everyone has their little armchair opinions on Tuesday morning.
Especially now, because everyone has an account to express that opinion.
I mean, imagine the most money you've ever been in charge of at your job, where you're like, if I screw up, I am on the hole, or I am on the fence. I am the one
on
whose
the
neck is, yeah, I'm in trouble for such and such money. And imagine being the guy who is that for the NFL with the, whatever it is, $60 billion he's sitting on. And going, oh, what do I do? What do I do? What do, this has never happened before. What in the world do I do? And again, and we don't even know that he did say.
Nope. Well, and the other thing is this, as I said, the league itself and the television production crew are not the same thing.
No.
Those are not.
I'm just going to say, under those circumstances, I am not going to judge anything any individual did. Because who knows what on earth I would do if one of my coworkers were dying 8 feet in front of me. If Joe Buck had literally crapped his pants live on air, I can promise you I wouldn't have thought a thing of it. I'd have said, yep, that.
Yeah, you'll probably want to go get some other ones, but yeah, I understand.
I feel that.
Yeah. Anyway, we obviously wish the best for the Hammonds, for the Hammond family, and we hope that, I mean, come on, I'm just saying what everybody's thinking or hoping. You know, he's improving. I would love nothing more than for him to wake up, be completely, you know, basically 100% cognitive. And then, you know, once he's realized how many people have been concerned about him, to glance over at his toy drive and see that it's raised over $6.5 million.
Number might be higher now. They're only updating us every few hours.
I just checked it. But but I would love that, and hopefully that's what happens.
Did you see that a nice decent chunk of that was Tom Brady too?
Yeah. Well, something else I noticed was the Patriots. Robert Kraft, he donated $18,000, and there were $18,003.
Love that.
And the reason why was like 18. It had some Jewish connotations, and I'm going to be ignorant here, and I'm not going to Google it, but it had some connotations basically like this is the number of life, and then this is like, I'm like, wow, that's pretty neat. Go and Google that. It's just interesting that there was a specific reason why that amount was donated. And then, of course, there's the Washington Commanders. I'm going to bring this up.
Although there is a couple more things here. In regards to this game, before we go into anything else, so the league resumed talks today, as I kind of hinted at earlier, about game resumption. They didn't for the last few days. They said out of respect for the player who
was fighting
for his life.
They shouldn't even have talked about it.
So now they've resumed. I enjoy the wording here, because this really would be unprecedented. They weren't that far into the game.
Yeah, there were still 5.5 minutes left in the first.
They did not say game restart. Game replay, game resumption. That means if they do play this week 19, you're going to sit down on your couch on a random Sunday.
There's going to be 5:26 left in the first quarter.
And
it's 7-3.
All right, 1st and 10 Bengals at their own 46, go.
You know what, though? Isn't that what pros do in practice all the time, situational football?
All the time.
So they'll be fine with it.
And I've told you this before. If we go into a football part of this, I am the Joe Burrow guy. You are the Josh Allen guy.
I do like Joe Burrow a lot.
And hilariously, I think Josh Allen is my second favorite quarterback.
And based on what I saw on the field, I think they have a lot of respect for each other.
I was rooting so hard for Buffalo in that game, though. And I wouldn't if this was the playoffs. I just really don't want Kansas City to have that one seed.
Yeah.
So I picked the Bengals like I promised in Pick'em. And I would root for Cincinnati in the playoff rematch, and I was rooting for Buffalo in this particular game. And, you know, shame about the whole thing, apart from, you know, the biggest shame of all, but the minor shame that now no one cares about, you know, it started off pretty much exactly how we all kind of thought it was. Joe Burrow right down the field, touchdown. Josh Allen took him right down the field. If Cole Beasley was 5'10 instead of 5'9, he gets a touchdown.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow gets the ball back. T. Higgins over the middle. And a part of me also thinks about, could you imagine being T. Higgins right now?
I'm sure he feels terrible.
I mean, what had to be the most innocent thought in the world, all right, I'm in the open field. I don't think I can elude this guy. For the 9,874th time of my life, I'm going to just run him over to get my extra yard or two and first
it's
down.
It's football.
And oopsie-daisy, he appears to be in cardiac arrest.
It's the
what did I just do?
You didn't do anything. It's a fluke.
That is what you and I know. There's no way
hopefully
that you can get that entirely out of your brain. There's no way. If someone jumps in front of your car on the highway and you hit him, you never saw him. That's that guy's fault, right?
Sure. Yeah, but you're going to remember.
You are going to think to yourself, oh my God, I just ran over a person.
Yeah.
You're going to think that. That's just human nature.
There were certainly some emotions on the field there, and I hope everybody can.
And then
can get him addressed.
Stephon Diggs was so convinced that the NFL was, in fact, going to say, well, this is what we do when people get injured. We're going to play again. He gathered his whole team up after he himself got done bawling. I mean, if you saw the clip of him on the sideline.
Yeah, him and Tre'Davious White. Tre'Davious White was beside himself.
Yeah. Diggs was still sopping up his own tears. Pulls his team together and tries to give them a rousing speech to get their heads back into the game because he truly believed that's what he had to do at that moment.
Yeah.
And then apparently we heard from Zach Taylor today that the actual conversation was as simple as he walked up to Sean McDermott. We never heard what they said. We just saw him on TV.
Yeah.
Literally just said, hey man, what you thinking? That's all he asked. And Sean McDermott replied, I can't coach this game. I need to be at the hospital. And Zach Taylor said, rightio. Off they went. They both pointed to their benches. They pointed to the locker room. That was that. I've given Zach Taylor some crap before for being I call him a cheerleader. I'm like, do we even know if he's any good as a head coach, or does he just have Joe Burrow and all of that talent on his roster? Is he just a cheerleader? He showed quite a bit of leader of men qualities in that moment, and I'll give him credit for that, as did McDermott. Both of them handled that with quite a bit of class and dignity. Good work by both men, and hopefully everything turns out all right health-wise with everyone involved.
Yeah, and I hope it, like I said, my top feeling would be, they start this game again and Hamlin is there, and he's there to watch.
I don't know that he ever needs to play football again.
And he may not. I mean, we don't even. To me, that's the secondary issue. The secondary issue is what's his career, because right now it's his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be, what type of quality of life. And then it's going to be, some other thoughts. But
under the assumption that all of these tweets we're getting from family members are to be believed and he's taking the right path back to being conscious in the next few days, getting out of there. I would also like to, and Buffalo feels like kind of, they're not a small town. Buffalo has a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
But they, much like, I'm not even going to say it, some team in the NFC has the closest thing to small town feel for a football team that a professional sports team is capable of having. I remember the Seahawks made Steve Largent like some obligatory office position when they got really good in 2011. And he had, no role with the team. They just gave him the title. And the reason was they felt like they were on the cusp of a Super Bowl. And they felt like, if we win one, Steve, we want you to get a ring for it. So they gave him a nonsense position and, bare minimum pay. Wouldn't it be so nice of Buffalo? Make him, head of player party planning. Some random thing.
Player morale. Who cares?
Head of player morale. Anything. Just say, there you go. You now work in the front office of the Buffalo Bills. You can have that spot for as long as you want. Even if it is, we'd like for them to pay him a bunch of money. It is still a business. You even say, here's league minimum pay, blah, blah, blah. When we win a Super Bowl, here's your ring. You earned it, buddy.
Well, and I guess I'm still hopeful that at some point, he's going to have a full recovery. I mean, he's only 24.
I would not advise with a heart condition.
He is in peak physical. He was in peak physical condition. Again, I'm not. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just saying, I'm a hopeful person, and I hope that that's what happens. I hope he makes a full recovery and that he continues to play football.
I also have to be entirely honest with you. The whole part about his mom being in attendance hit me a lot differently than it would have before I got married and had a kid. I'm going to be honest with you.
And then they showed, you know, he went over and was talking to his mom and his family before the game, and they had some footage of that, and I'm just like, she had to be going absolutely crazy.
On one hand, being in the stands and being live and watching that had to be hard. It would be impossible. And I am very thankful, I think, that she was live. Can you imagine watching that through a television?
Yeah, kind of a Jerry Maguire moment there.
Ugh.
At the end when he's hurt. But yeah, it's. I think we've kind of talked about this. I also want to throw this out there. One of our couple hundred listeners is a very devoted listener, and he happens to be my nephew.
He yelled at you once. That was very funny.
Yeah, and during the break, he actually was in a car accident, broke some ribs, had a partially collapsed lung, and so on top of that, he didn't get to listen to the podcast the last 2 weeks. So, Chris, I'm glad you're feeling better, and we're back, and thanks for listening.
It's been a rough week, apparently.
Hey, we're just glad he's still around. Like I said, the these darn roads.
They're... There was actually, my wife filmed it. We're coming up, what is that? Right before you turn off on 30 going to Utah. What's that road there? You can continue on 30 to Kemmer if you're leaving Afton, or you can turn right and you're heading to Utah.
It's just US 89/26.
Okay. So right where the sign says, "Welcome to Wyoming," she films us approaching it. You have to see the video to truly appreciate it.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah. There's like literally you drew it with a pencil line across the road where it's road, road, road. Where'd the road go? We're in Wyoming now.
And this is a long time discussion.
It's right at the sign.
Well, it has to be because that's where the Idaho Department of Transportation and the Wyoming Department. Okay. Well, Idaho, I know, uses salt.
Yes.
I'm assuming Utah does as well.
I'm assuming 49 out of the states do.
Wyoming does not. Wyoming uses sand.
Yeah.
And there's been a discussion about that for many years. But yeah, the locals, which I guess you're a local now. We joke about this all the time. So yeah, at the state border, sometimes when they actually are ahead of the snow, you'll hit the Idaho border for this little sliver before you slip back into Wyoming, and like this 2 mile stretch will be bare and wet, and then the Wyoming part will just be like this slurry of powder and sand, and it's like an it was
a little hilarious.
It's like a truck commercial.
It gave us one little chuckle in the midst of our non-chuckle inducing commute back home. Anyhow, so all that occurred. We can also talk about some slightly more lighthearted bits of the sporting world. We now know the national championship game. LOL at Michigan. Ha 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 ha. LOL at Ohio State. Ha 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 ha.
I picked the Frogs.
That was insane.
I picked the Frogs to win, and I knew they would win. In fact, here's why I knew. In fact, the only time they have hurt me this year is the one loss they had, which was in overtime to Kansas State. It was like a fluky deal. But if you've watched TCU, they are ridiculously fast. They are so fast at every position. And I just thought to myself, I don't think they can keep up with those guys. Now,
very strong rumor that Mr. Quentin Johnson might be someone playing for my Chicago Bears.
Very strong rumors that Jim Harbaugh might be coaching an NFL team next year.
I heard the Panthers and Broncos strongly interested in Mr. Harbaugh.
If the Broncos,
I like the Harbaugh brothers.
If the Broncos have a brain in their head,
I am sure it will not come down to Bronco interest.
They will go down and they will go to Sean Payton and they will pay him whatever it takes to get him motivated to do what Sean Payton does.
Now the difference there is that you have to actually technically trade something to the New Orleans Saints to get Payton, as they still own 2 more years of his contract.
Interesting, since they have no more picks to trade.
Yeah. So Payton, who apparently is garnering up this super dream team of free agent coaches for his return to coaching because he's interested, does have that Marshawn Lynch problem when Lynch wanted to unretire. Well, unfortunately, Sean, you have to convince the Saints to trade your contract to someone.
Give me something.
Well, yes, that would be the you have to convince whoever wants you has to give something to New Orleans, and New Orleans knows that they don't even have to trade with any. New Orleans can demand literally whatever they want and go. Well, I mean, Sean's not eating at our pockets at all. We'll just continue.
That's going to cost you. That's going to cost you 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, why not? Sure. Now, Marshawn Lynch ended up being traded for a 5th-round pick?
I don't remember.
Sometimes the teams are just like, yeah, whatever. If you're going to give us anything, that's fine. He was retired anyway. You don't have to, though. You could be a dick about it if you wanted.
You could.
Jim Harbaugh, you just have to convince him to do it. You just say, hey, would you like...
There's way too much smoke on that.
Would you like some money, Jim?
There's way some too much money? Smoke. He wants a Super Bowl. I mean, the guy... came within.
He should have won one when he was a quarterback then, well, if he wanted one
I'm
so bad.
He came within a power outage of maybe winning the Super Bowl at the Niners.
I think that power outage helped him.
It might have.
I mean, his team was being beaten off the tracks until that outage went down.
But to me, I don't think money is his motivation
that
anymore.
Super Bowl,
he has plenty of money.
Was a shining endorsement of older brother supremacy.
Yeah.
And may all younger brothers such as yourself... please feel lesser than your older siblings, as you should. It is your place.
And may all you older siblings suck it.
Right into John Harbaugh's Super Bowl ring, baby.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh represents us all.
You can go kiss his ring.
Maybe I will.
I'm not gonna. All right. Picks. You ready for picks?
Sure. On top of that, by the way, should we discuss Wyoming and Notre Dame?
Sure.
Did play their bowl games.
You're excited, of course, because Notre Dame won theirs.
I was watching Wyoming's though on mute.
Honestly, it was. Yeah, the whole Barstool thing was fun at first. It got really old.
It would have been a neat little gimmick for a pregame show.
Well, to me, after 3 hours, it got old.
Well, and not only that, they had to bring one. Why am I forgetting? Who did you guys?
Ohio.
They'd have one Ohio fan and one Wyoming fan in the booth for the broadcast.
Are you kidding me? And I don't even know if that was true. I think they were just, it was like a debate tournament. Here, you're pro and you're con. And I think that's all it was. There's no way anybody from.
They genuinely reminded me of, like, you know, I watch professional wrestling, and the rule of wrestling is they always have one face announcer who always roots for the good guy, and one heel announcer who roots. The theory there in the wrestling promotion world is we want one announcer hyping up each of the guys in that ring so that the fans are hearing hype about them all the time. That doesn't work in real sports.
Well,
it was annoying.
It got a little much. As far as the game itself, it was actually
a heck of a game.
It was a great game.
I'm on mute.
I'm disappointed the Cowboys weren't able to pull it out. It took basically a perfect pass to a guy in overtime.
Heck of a catch.
And that was his only catch of the game for the Bobcats. So, you know, hats off to him. For whatever reason, though, I have to say I was kind of pissed off at Ohio in general. There was a lot of smack.
That's fair. That doesn't even have anything to do with sports.
But there was a lot of smack talk and kind of some trash and pointing and... And that's just not how Wyoming rolls as far as their players.
You occasionally roll like that.
I don't like to, though. It's usually only against Zach Wilson and BYU. But I was thinking to myself, I'm like, who the hell are you? I'm like, you're not Ohio State. You know, easy there, Ohio kicker, you jack off.
Notre Dame did pleasantly surprise myself, and my grandmother was at our house for the Christmas season. My grandfather has since passed away roughly 2 years ago. He and her were massive Notre Dame fans. Watch every game. And the fact that Notre Dame had, I believe it was 10 starters sitting out of that bowl game. And I said, well, you know what? That's happening a lot. Maybe we'll get lucky. And South Carolina is... Nope. Every South Carolina starter played in that game, including Spencer Rattler, who I hate. And I went, oh, this... Am I going to have to sit here and watch us get slapped around by one of my most hated quarterbacks? Nope! You lost to our backups.
Here's the thing. It's kind of a classic Notre Dame scenario this season. They started off terribly. I mean, let's go back to that. They lost to Middle Tennessee State. Things were ugly.
Marshall?
Okay. Did they lose to Middle Tennessee State also?
No.
Who did they beat?
Marshall and Ohio State. Middle Tennessee State might have beaten someone else.
They beat somebody else prominently. Okay, so I mixed them up.
But actually, I remember week one, we lost to Ohio State, and it was only by a little bit. And we were like patting ourselves on the back for it. We went, we only barely lost to Ohio State in Ohio State.
But a rough start.
It was to Marshall.
And then they get on a roll. They get up ranked in the teens again. They had a little bit of a late season. Who they lose to there at the end?
USC,
which of course is a bummer for Notre Dame fans. But then you come back and you win the bowl game. But isn't that classic Notre Dame as an independent? What did they end up winning? 10 games?
Yeah.
10 games. They're a top 15, 20 team. They won their bowl game.
21 is where
they
went.
And yet, as fans, there's enough there that they go, yeah. They had a tough schedule. They really did.
And it's not going to get easier next year. They're going to repeat against Ohio State again. They got Michigan coming next year. USC again. They got another top 10 team from this year on the schedule. I don't remember who it is. And this one's just fun. But you remember Northwestern played Nebraska in Dublin, Ireland this year in week one?
Yeah, that was cool.
Guess who's playing in Dublin next year?
Oh.
Opening day. It's Notre Dame and Navy. So, Notre Dame playing in Dublin, Ireland?
So I just want to throw this out there since,
against United States Military Academy, as if they're just begging the Irish fans, please root for the Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
We know you hate our military. Come on.
So there's already been talk about this. Wyoming's non-conference schedule next year, by Wyoming standards, is pretty difficult. They open up against Texas Tech. Then they host Portland State, which is that's your backdrop. You better win this. I think Portland State did pretty dang well in the FCS this year. So, I mean, that won't be a gimme. And then Wyoming goes to Texas.
Oh!
And then they host Appalachian State, which is one more than they've lost. So that's their non-conference. And then they open up their conference to road games at Air Force at Boise.
Air Force is...
That is a tough
riding
stretch.
Riding high right now.
But that is a tough stretch, and I hope Wyoming has an excellent offseason because that first month could be one of those holy crap months.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is you should beat CSU because they suck. New Mexico sucks. Nevada sucks. UNLV sucks. Hawaii sucks. So hopefully none of those teams actually suck. Anyway, hopefully they can win enough in the back half to get bowl eligible again. But yeah, that I guess you can also look at it as, hey, here's your opportunity to have a special year because you go out and you beat Texas Tech, you beat Texas, you're going to be on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see how it happens. That is down the road, September. It's a long way away, especially when every single day lasts 72 hours here.
It would have been funnier to me, by the way, and I'm just now thinking of this, if the NFL had pushed everything back a week for this week 19 thing, but also still wanted the gap for the Super Bowl, so the Super Bowl got pushed back 1 week, and the poor XFL, whose big strategy was capitalize on football while it's still hot in the spring, and they're debuting the week after the Super Bowl. If then the Super Bowl takes place while they're trying to kick off week one, and they're just like, are you friggin' kidding us?
Yeah, they just roll with it.
We'll be your pregame warm-up.
Everything
else. Watch some week one XFL, then watch the Super Bowl.
Everything else has been stacked against them for the last 20 years, so why not? All right, so our first, there's actually two Saturday games. No more Thursday games, which I'm going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people don't like the Thursday games, but I liked them.
We only don't like the Thursday games because typically they happen to suck. We make fun of them for being always like, why is it always the Jets versus the Texans on Thursday night football?
I'm just going to tell you, we hand me the sanitizer.
I said Jets, and Dal immediately is like, oh, I got to get that off
my
hands.
No, I'm just fighting through a cold, trying not to spread anything on the equipment here.
I might have given it to you when I walked in for what I thought was a meeting on Monday.
I've had it I've had it since you've been gone.
I think my infant son gave it to us because he was the first one to have a runny nose. And then suddenly, right, mysteriously, 2 days later, Mackenzie and I did.
I'll blame him.
And I went, Max, where did you go to acquire a cold that we didn't have?
You only know your parents.
Where did you get this? But we do have a Saturday game for some reason. The week before the
I'm
playoffs.
Happy about it.
I mean, sure. I just thought that was like the NFL's whole deal is, oh, no one gets an advantage before the playoffs. Everyone has to play the same day. You know what? Never mind. You get a Saturday
game. It's close enough.
Although, actually, I'll have a basketball game to be doing that night. So I'll record them, and I'll probably have to threaten violence to everyone in my phone. So, yeah. Spoil the ending of Chiefs Raiders, which I'll likely miss, and I will have to commit arson. Anyhow.
It's at Vegas.
The Chiefs are probably winning.
Here's the crazy thing. Why is Kansas City listed as the underdog here?
Not according to the voters.
I don't care what the voters think.
Yeah, Yahoo fans are apparently all going to be betting against the house on this one.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous. Kansas City's winning that game.
Yeah, I'm going to root so hard for Vegas.
They actually have something to play for here. They can get the number one seed.
And that's the other thing. That's why I'm so convinced that that is the front runner right now. If Buffalo had like locked up the one seed already, they'd probably just call that game a tie and say, all right, on with it.
Yeah.
I think that they are genuinely afraid of the repercussions they would get from the fans, from everybody. If they looked Buffalo dead in the eyes and said, sorry about your teammate who's fighting for his life in the hospital, but I'm afraid that Kansas City played one more game than you, so you don't get a bye, and you'll have to play on the road in the AFC title game.
We're going to have to ding you.
Yeah. Like, so that's why that's... But if the Raiders do win...
They're not going
to
win.
I hate to say something mean against Buffalo here, but if the Raiders were to pull a miracle here, I can just root for Cincinnati in week 19 because then the Bengals can get the one seed. Then I don't have to be conflicted about it.
I will say this. I think Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati, they're all more than capable of winning on the road. Yes. It's just nice to have that road, that home game.
Buffalo and Kansas City would like it the most. And I know I'm the Joe Burrow fanboy, and that might be what this sounds like. But no, like genuinely, I think they proved it last year. Buffalo likes the home crowd. Kansas City really likes the home crowd. Cincinnati plays exactly the same in every stadium across the board. And they went into Tennessee last year, beat the number one seed. They went into Arrowhead last year and beat the Chiefs. They don't seem to care. Buffalo and Kansas City would straight up kill each other for that one seed right now, I think.
and I will say it is nice. I'm just saying I think they're all capable.
Capable. I think it is more of an advantage in that particular matchup than in some others. I'll say that. Buffalo, Kansas City wants to be at home.
Going Kansas City. I don't know who you're picking.
I picked the Chiefs, though.
Next Saturday game, man, talk about a team. I really like Mike Vrabel, and I think he does a good job coaching. I really do. He's one of the very few Bill Belichick.
Then pick the Titans, Dal.
If I pick the Titans, that would imply I haven't been paying attention, which I have been.
Yeah, I'm taking Jacksonville.
They're starting, who knows, at quarterback. This is a road game. Jacksonville's one of the hottest teams in the league. And, Jaguars are going to the playoffs, man. They're going to win this game.
Just so we're clear, do you know that there is a very probable scenario here in which Cincinnati has to play Baltimore this week for the division, and if Cincinnati wins, they turn around and they play Baltimore in round one of the playoffs?
I hate that. It happens, though.
Isn't that gross?
It happens.
Arguably going to have the exact same result both times because I hear Lamar Jackson is still not practicing.
You know what?
By the way, I'm taking Jacksonville because...
If you're Lamar Jackson, let's just look at this for a second. If you're Lamar Jackson, you do not have an extension.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to work all that out after the season. He said he wasn't going to deal with it. If you're Lamar Jackson, what is your incentive? And I don't know what his injury level is. Only he does.
Apart from competitive spirit, there's no financial reason for you to try to rush yourself back in here for this.
I'm just saying...
Unless you just...
What if he's already kind of leaned into the idea that I'm not going to be with Baltimore next year anyway? Why would he come back?
I think that's more analyst talk. Probably. Think as a player, look how long it took Justin Herbert to get here. And he's so talented. There's a part of you as a player that has to think, you got a shot to go to the playoffs. Like, a lot of players do not get a chance to play in conference title games, Super Bowls. Maybe you do feel like you're like, you know what, I'm ready to go. Even if I'm not here next year, I have this chance to try to go win myself a Super Bowl ring.
I see your point. I see your point, and it's a good one. But I also think, as far as Lamar Jackson's concerned, this is his offseason. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to sign a $250 million contract with someone. And so for him to come back too early for a team that he may not even play for, it is analyst talk. But at the same time, if I'm him, I would think really serious about not. If it's...
The main reason, though, I pointed out that Bengals...
The Ravens aren't winning the Super Bowl. They're not.
You and I know that, or we say that. Sometimes we have no idea what we don't know, because sometimes we are really confident about stuff on this show, and we look like morons on Tuesday.
That's true.
But there's not a single human being in that Baltimore building that would ever think that in a billion years. If they snuck in with a 7-10 record, if they were in the AFC South and won that division, you think the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't all thinking to themselves, we're going to the Super Bowl, baby? Because they all are. We don't think that they're going to do that. Trevor Lawrence thinks that. Christian Kirk thinks that. That's just how players operate. They don't use the human brain. They use the competitor brain.
The reptile brain.
Anyhow, speaking of, though, Jacksonville versus the Chargers looking like a very probable round one matchup if Jacksonville beats Tennessee.
I wouldn't want to play the Chargers. The way things are going right now.
What a fun little... it's the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, seen as the coming out party of both the Raiders and the Steelers, who would both then define the 70s playoff scene. Does that feel a little bit to you, apart from the fact that unfortunately the AFC is where all the good playoff teams are? Sorry, that's bad timing, everyone else. But does it not feel like there's the potential for that to feel very Raiders-Steelers from the 70s to... Oh, here's maybe Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert.
I'm not...
And they're going to play in the playoffs for the first time?
I'm not quite ready to declare Lawrence there. I do think Herbert does some things that makes you go, there's only about three other guys in the league that can do
Trevor
that.
Lawrence, though, looks like he has made the turn over the last few weeks and said, okay, I finally understand the NFL now.
And I'm
not elite yet, but you can see it there. If he plays at his top level consistently.
He reminds me of Andrew Luck.
Yes.
Which is not a bad comparison, but would you rather have Andrew Luck or Joe Burrow?
That's not fair to ask me.
I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with Andrew Luck.
If you ask me right now, would you rather have Tom Brady in his rookie year or Joe Burrow? I'm saying Joe Burrow anyway.
I'm just saying, you can have a guy that is going to be a great system. You know, he's going to win more than he loses. He's a franchise quarterback for 10 years, or you can have a guy that might be a generational talent. And I'm picking the generational guy.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, this could be fun, Lawrence and Herbert. If nothing else, then because it's just fresh.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that one before. All right, Jaguars, Chargers.
Yeah, it could be a lot of fun.
That's assuming Jacksonville
wins.
That's
down the road.
Because, again, we're so confident Jacksonville is winning that we're going to watch Titans-Ravens for some reason in round one. It's not going to make sense because nothing ever does. This one is impossible because we have no idea who Tampa Bay is going to rest and who they're not going to rest and if they want to rest. Because now they don't know if there's going to be a bye. So they might not want their starters to be 2 weeks rusty. You know what I mean?
If I'm Tampa Bay, I would not overthink it. They just barely shook off. Right now, Tampa Bay...
I would play my starters if I was Tampa.
I would too.
Yeah.
Because right now, Tampa Bay reminds me of that scene from Forrest Gump where he's like hobbling along as fast as he can with his leg braces on as the kid, and they're chasing him and throwing rocks at him, and then his giant strong legs break through the braces and he just starts running. That's what Tampa Bay did this last week. The last thing you want to do is go back home and say, "Mama, my legs hurt. Let's put the braces back on." You know, you don't want to do that. Yeah, yeah. Tampa.
I'm going to pick the
Tampa should be playing, at least starting their starters.
I am going to pick Tampa Bay under the impression that starters will be playing. If I find out on like Saturday that they're resting, I might go back and retroactively take Atlanta. So temporarily, Tampa Bay is who I've locked in. Not that it matters at this point. I'm behind whoever's in first place. Kyler is now in first place.
I'm not sure who to pick on
this one. I am behind by 13, so
how far
playoffs help me. You are behind by 7.
So that puts me how many in front of you?
You couldn't take 7 away from 13 there, Dal?
No, I just wanted you to say it.
I would like to point out, though, that we tied the first week that I was gone. The way that game was looking early on.
Carolina almost won, man.
I would have.
Carolina looked really good. I looked really smart for about three quarters.
I think I picked Carolina too, though, unfortunately, so you didn't. I would have tied you in our second week, but you gained 1 point on me in the 2 weeks I was gone because Bengals-Bills didn't finish. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Bills
Patriots.
I'm sorry. I still haven't picked. I'm picking Tampa Bay because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Bills.
I'm taking the Bills. Too much to play for. And have you seen, by the way, how this is shaping up for Pittsburgh?
No.
They need a couple of things to go their way. They need New England to lose. They need Miami to lose. And they need to beat the Browns. Now, the Browns aren't exactly lighting the world on fire, but neither is Pittsburgh. That's a coin flip. However, Miami doesn't have a quarterback this week. Teddy Bridgewater, hurt. Tua, still definitely hurt.
That's Skylar Thompson.
They have Skylar Thompson going up against a very good, I know you hate the Jets, very good Jet defense.
Are they really good?
The defense.
Are they?
The offense can occasionally run
the
ball.
Are they still really good, though? Or are we just saying they are because they were 6 weeks ago?
No, Robert Saleh's gonna. I think he can at least manage Skylar Thompson at this point. Poor my.
You have a tendency to go off on other matchups. We're talking Minnesota Chicago here.
Oh, yes. Oh, the greatest news in the world. You're gonna hate this. How excited I got for this. Chicago needs two things to go their way to get the number one. Do you know the haul we could get from some quarterback-hungry team for the number one pick in the draft? We need Houston to beat the Sam Ehlinger Colts. Probably underdogs?
Not a gimme.
Possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
Possible. The Bears need to lose to Minnesota, though. Done. Minnesota is resting their starters for this game.
Field isn't playing either.
And I went, oh my God, they're trying to give us this game. I hate you, Minnesota. And then the news comes today. In what looks like the most transparent, not even hiding it anymore, tank move in history. Oh, he has hip soreness. He won't be playing. We're starting Nathan Peterman. Take that, Minnesota, trying to ruin our tank. Will Nathan Peterman all over you. I'm taking the Vikings, despite their lack of starters. Because first of all, though, isn't that just confusing? The 2 seed is still up for grabs if you're Minnesota. I get it. You're thinking, well, round one, does it matter if we're playing the Giants or we're playing
It doesn't matter because they're going to lose.
Here's the thing. I don't care if you think there's no difference between the Giants, Lions, Seahawks, Packers, whatever, that whole
mess. They're
all
better than the Vikings in the playoffs.
Here's where I'm going with this. Even if you don't care about round one, you have to assume, if you're the team, all right, well, then we win round one. Well, now you've just stuck yourself in quite the predicament. Now you tried your best to give up this week. You dropped to the 3 seed. Uh-oh. Now in round two, you're going to San Francisco instead of playing at home. Why would you not play for seeding?
I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff going on this week.
I'm
going
to take them anyway out of pure hope.
I am too. I just think Minnesota, what does Chicago have to play for? I mean, seriously.
You want me to answer that?
Yeah, the first round pick.
The number one overall pick.
Yeah.
By the way, our good colleague Duke Dance, big Raiders fan.
That's his fault.
Have you heard the strong rumors that that is the number one team most interested in trading up with the Bears?
Is the Raiders?
The Raiders.
Don't they have Jarrett Stidham?
Are apparently moving
future
on from
Hall
Derek
of Famer,
Carr.
Jarrett Stidham?
The proposed trade I saw on ESPN, oh boy. You know how quickly I would take that if it were an actual trade offer? And maybe it could potentially be, or in the ballpark. It said the Raiders go full rebuild. They give up Davante Adams, a first-round pick. Their first round, you know, they trade it. They give us the 9. You have Davante Adams, a first, a second, and a fourth for the Bears' number 2 overall pick and a third or something, whatever it was.
You take that.
And I went, we could get Adams, a first and a second?
Yep.
No, not a first. We're moving back in the first.
Still
get Adams
still
a top
in a
second
pick.
To move back 8 spots? We don't need a quarterback.
Yeah.
We can get our wide receiver, pass rusher, or lineman back at 9. We have a lot of needs. Someone will be back there.
Yeah, I would take that in a heartbeat.
And poor Justin Fields needs literally a single human being to be open to throw the football to. Devontae is good at getting open.
Maybe he doesn't. You know what, though?
I have seen it with my eyes.
Maybe he doesn't want to play much anymore. I feel like maybe you need to gauge his motivation level after this season.
I've also saw rumors
it's not been very
of
fun.
A similar trade with the Cardinals for Hopkins if they move on for Murray.
I'd rather have Adams than Hopkins.
Here's the thing. If I got some sort of guarantee, oh, we've replaced all his ligaments with titanium.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Hopkins.
Yeah, there is no guarantee, though.
Hopkins is hurt constantly.
And he's been suspended.
Well, yeah, okay. That also did happen.
I'm just saying, I take Adams 9 times out of 10 on that.
I think Hopkins is the better player. I think Adams is more routinely available for you, so I'd rather have Adams. Also, I think
what are we anyway?
We are now on, I assume you're taking the Vikings as well.
I am.
Even with the backups
in. Fact,
in.
I've already picked the next one, Bengals.
I am taking the Bengals. The Bengals have everything in the world to play for all of a sudden because they still need to win the division.
For all I know, there's people still sleeping in that stadium waiting from their postponement, and they'll wake up and they'll roll out from under the seat row in front of them and they'll be like, hey, it's Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, week 12 and beyond, tends to do. Does this have the inkling to you of that one random game he does every 4 weeks where he's going to throw for like 400 yards
it
and 5 touchdowns?
It kind of does feel that way.
And you're like, it's a shame the fantasy football season is over. I could have used that.
Yeah. Not only that, let's be honest. There's some leagues still finishing out this week, and look at the poo-poo platter some of them have for quarterbacks that are out there for guys that are sitting and woo. Yeah.
That's why I never play leagues that play the last week of the season because nonsense occurs.
Yes.
This one I'm picking with the heart, baby. Come on, Houston. Please beat the Colts.
Nah.
Houston. Houston.
You know what?
Houston.
Who's...
They've been feisty recently. They played the Chiefs to overtime.
All I know
they
is...
They played the Cowboys to overtime. And then they beat... Who'd they just beat? Tennessee.
Yeah, that's true.
That's their last 3 games.
Well, now that...
No, Nick, sorry. Then they got pasted by Jacksonville.
Now that Nick Foles can no longer hurt the Colts anymore, I'm going to say that they have a good chance to win. My gosh, that
Houston.
Guy.
Houston. Houston.
Go ahead. I picked him. I picked the Colts. Maybe you'll gain one.
Lovie Smith, if you still have any love for Chicago, you will win.
Why would he? You fired him.
Avenge your Super Bowl loss to the Colts.
You fired him.
And do us proud. I didn't fire him.
Yes, you did.
It wasn't me.
You Chicago people collectively fired him. You let him go.
Jets, Dolphins.
Ugh.
The Jets are keeping Mike White. But did you see the press conference? They said, we are standing by Zach Wilson next season. All those rumors about us moving him in the offseason, they're false. We're keeping him. He's coming back next season.
They used the phrase hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, I thought.
But he's not playing in this game. It's Mike White, so the Jets are winning.
I thought we'd seen the last of him with the Jets, but maybe not. So you're picking the Jets?
I'm going to pick the Jets.
I'm going to pick the Jets because I have no faith in the Dolphins. They haven't won in over a
month. They should have eliminated Green Bay on Christmas Day. They could have given me the greatest Christmas gift of all, and instead Tua decided to hurt his brain again. Selfish.
Easy. First 30 minutes of the show was
dedicated
about
to
player safety and humanity.
So now I have to earn my negative karma back, I guess.
I guess.
Anyway, apparently we're both taking the Jets. What a weird time to be alive.
Change that, though. I honestly might change that.
That sounds more like death.
Carolina at New Orleans.
I'll take the Panthers for the fun of it.
Man, I was all gung-ho with the Panthers. They were playing well. They even played pretty well in that loss this last week.
They should have beaten Tampa.
They should have. But how good is Tampa, really? New Orleans seems like one of those teams that's going to keep winning down the stretch because inexplicably it's not what they should be doing, but they figured out how to do it late and they're going to keep doing it. I'm picking New Orleans here. I think they win.
All right. At least we have... So here's the one. Pittsburgh needs this desperately because they have a legitimate shot at both of their helpers.
Screw you, Cleveland. Picking Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take Cleveland. I say Pittsburgh gets both of the help that they needed and then loses their own game.
I am so disappointed in the effort Washington put in to try and make the playoffs. They're at home. They're at home against the freaking Browns and some sex predator that shouldn't even be in the league. You should win that game. And for like the fourth time in the last 10 years, all Washington has to do is beat a crappy team at home in the last month of the season, and they can't do it. So I'm going to bring this up because I was going to bring this up earlier. It's funny to me. Going back to the Damar Hamlin thing.
Is it funny?
I think it's funny.
Are you
going to
laugh?
I don't know. But my brother, who's a Dallas fan, sent me this via this message from the toy drive for Damar Hamlin. And there is a it's the donation list.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a donation from a guy named Carpet Man Flooring.
Nice.
Donated $5,500.
Nice. Just,
I mean, you gotta admit that's a pretty good chunk of change for a strip mall. There's a picture of it. Strip mall flooring place, Carpet Man Flooring. 15 hours later, so I mean, but it's the next one that's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Commanders, which will likely sell for $8 billion in the offseason, $5,000. So in other words, $500 less than Carpet Man Flooring. And so he sent this to troll me, and I said, honestly, at this point, I'm just impressed they have the authority to spend the $5,000. I thought maybe there'd be a donation of complimentary nachos at the next Commies home game. That would be like their donation. Sorry, we're in a, you know, we don't know who has the checkbook or who has, we don't. I'm just saying, what a pathetic excuse for a home office. I cannot, whoever wins the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
If Dan Snyder sells the Commies to anyone except Kim Jong-il, that we're going to be the real winners, Washington fans, because that guy, holy crap. I cannot imagine being as crappy of a human being as he has played out over the last quarter century.
That's after I just called Tua selfish for having a head injury.
You were kidding. I assume.
Chargers at Broncos.
Chargers.
This one is not difficult.
Yeah.
Chargers. Technically, they're playing for seeding, so I assume that they'll play their starters.
And technically, Denver has a one-game interim lame duck of a coach.
Yeah. Who almost beat Kansas City, which is really hilarious when you think about Nathaniel.
That would have been funny.
Nathaniel Hackett has been so awful that they brought in literally anyone. And that guy only lost to the Chiefs by 3 points. And Denver, stop. If you're going to lose to Kansas City, don't give me hope.
Yeah.
Don't almost win. If you're going to almost win, just win so Cincinnati can get the one seed. Anyhow, moving on.
Philadelphia, New York. Is Jalen Hurts playing? Do we know this?
I'd assume he is. I don't know that it matters. Because they need the win to get the one seed, and they are going to be playing with their butts on fire, and they are just better than New York.
Well, I admit, I agree with most of that. I just didn't know. I was kind of ignorant as to the situation, so thank you. Picking Philly. San Fran.
Here's a team that's also trying to get the one seed.
And Arizona sucks, and they're going to fire their coach probably within an hour after they lose to San Francisco.
Maybe in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
And he's like, eh.
be like, you know, we're not going to fire you till after the game, but you're also not going to get the return home flight, so you might as well pay for your own.
So San Francisco has the one seed to play for, so they're going to care. They're going to play. They're going to win.
This next one cracks me up. It's the Rams at Seattle. Matt Stafford has been cleared to play, and his quote was absolute gold. He said, I told you I'd do everything I could to get the Lions in the playoffs. Of course, he plays for the Rams now. So basically what he's saying is they're going to go and they're going to beat Seattle, and then that'll help the Lions get in the playoffs.
Yes. I'm torn on what I want to root for here, because I'd much rather the Seahawks make the playoffs than the Lions or Packers. But if the Seahawks win, will that impact Detroit's morale for that game? Because there's nothing I least want than the Packers in the playoffs. My dream is that the Seahawks win and then the Lions just beat Green Bay anyway, despite their sadness.
See, Seattle might be better on the season, but I think Los Angeles is playing better right now.
Maybe.
I'm picking the Rams.
I'm taking Seattle. This next one, I'm sorry to do this to you. I'm going to take Dallas.
You should.
They're playing not only for the division, they're playing for the potential one seed, because the NFC is wild.
Well, and they are screwed because Sam Howell is getting the start this week for the Commies.
I remember when Sam Howell played Notre Dame a couple of years ago.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I fear this is going to go very similarly.
Oh.
Yeah. He said, oh, I'm on North Carolina.
I'm throwing it to the wrong team.
How come I have to play against Notre Dame? This isn't fair. This is him right now on the NFL version of North Carolina.
Washington playing. Took a big old dump in their playoff bed last week, so they're out of the playoffs. Carson Wentz did everything he possibly could to never play another down for Washington last week. And then obviously you're out of the playoffs, so there's no reason not to play your guy that's to see what you have. Yeah. Get a game under his belt. Oh, by the way, I hope
unless it kills him.
I hope you've been working really hard, because
doing this, the yoga, making sure you're nice and limber.
Because this defense is going to be coming after you like you got a pork chop in your pocket. Anyway, still picking Washington because suck it, Dallas. I'm a real fan. I don't know what you are.
Detroit and Green Bay. Detroit.
Detroit's going to win.
I'm going to do it. I'm not on camera. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
I'm on my knees, Detroit.
Does your pastor know that you're worshiping this false idol?
I am begging you. This is more of a plea than a worship.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you never accomplish anything else.
He really is on his knees.
For the rest of your franchise's existence, and you won't because you're the Lions, win this game. Or I bomb Detroit.
Ugh. Yeah, but how would you notice?
And it would affect nothing, but it would be the symbolism, really.
I'm picking Detroit because I got some faith in them. I think they're going to get her done.
Now, we're falling into a dangerous trap here, because if you've ever been on social media around Lions fans, for whatever reason, Lions fans have had faith in the Lions for decades. And again, I don't know why. And they have been let down each and every time ever done it.
Lots of
and
times.
Here we are joining them like fools.
And let's be honest, since that one's not till Sunday night, I may very well change that one too. But right now, I'm going with the Lions.
It is still so weird the NFL picked that one instead of Jaguars Titans for the Sunday night finale.
Oh, really? You think that's...
No, not that it's a better game.
It is a better game.
It's that one of those teams could be mathematically eliminated at kickoff.
Well,
why?
I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
I would have played that at the same time as Seattle. Make them play at the same.
Hey, you don't want that scheduling job. Talk about no, something that sounds fun that's not, I'm sure, is the NFL scheduling job.
I know, but doesn't it feel like the easiest version of this ever? You got two division games that the winner wins the division. Put one of those on it. Bengals Ravens could go on it Sunday night if you wanted. Just pick one at random and say, all right, either of the ones that's for a division. Instead of... Remember that one year where they literally had no playoff implications in week 17, so they didn't have a Sunday night game that year?
Stupid.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, why don't you just play, what's that show that famously came on instead of the football game?
Oh, Heidi?
Heidi. Why don't you just play Heidi while you're at it?
Did you know ABC actually has legitimately never shown Heidi on its network since that day?
They shouldn't.
That's hilarious to me.
It's embarrassing.
The greatness of the Raiders came storming back.
Heidi. Well, I guess that's it.
Here's
for
Heidi
us.
Heidi and her goat.
Glad to have you back, Aaron. Glad you made it through the trek from Missouri back here to Wyoming. And then I got give some travel this
such
week.
Such a nice little text to get, even though it made me sad. Apparently, my mom said, "Man, it's so upsetting. I cried today." And I said, "Why'd you cry today?" She said, "Oh, well, not because of you guys. You guys come and go, whatever." She goes, "But we had to leave a bunch of the Christmas presents they got for Max at their house because we couldn't take it on the plane. So they are going to." But he'd been playing with some of them in there. And she goes, "I came back home. My living room was full of Max's toys."
Aww.
"And Max wasn't here." And I said,
"I think it's hilarious she doesn't give a rip about you."
No, she's like, "Oh, whatever. You guys aren't adorable and tiny anymore."
I like your mom. I haven't even met her and I like her. That sounds right.
Along with all of Max's toys, though, I too am receiving one of the greatest Christmas gifts of all.
You're getting your Jeep fixed?
That too. But right there in the packaging, not one, but both. The third league is with a bunch of randoms. We don't have a trophy. That's unfortunate. Oh. I'm getting the championship belt that my brother had and the championship trophy from our league that we're in. Both shipped to me. They both reside back home. I'm like, England, it's coming home, baby.
I'm
Except
sad.
Unlike England, I actually made good on that.
My fantasy trophy, which I've had hanging on my wall for the last 2 years, sadly, will be going away.
I
have been eliminated.
I am going to do such disgusting acts to that trophy once it arrives at my house. I have been separated from it for, I believe, 3 years now. That's too long.
That's gross, man.
And on that note, we bid you all adieu. We will hopefully see you again next week right here on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.